will be recorded from here on in. So has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes of the of January 19th? Does anyone have any edits, comments? Virginia, did you raise your hand?
No, I just scratched my cheek.
Okay. Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the minutes from January?
So move, Karen.
Is there a second? Denise Papageau seconded that. Any discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Are there any abstentions?
Yes.
That was Carol.
Yep.
Carol abstained.
Independence. Last meeting, so I'll abstain.
Any nays? All right. So now we'll move on to the Water Planning Council updates. Virginia, implementation work group?
Certainly. As you know, we've been working with the Alliance for Water Efficiency to plan a rates workshop. And that's our short version of how water companies can set rates to be sustainable, even with reducing water through conservation or other means. That workshop is happening 1 month away, four weeks from today. And so I hope you're all going to be attending. One of the things that we discussed was that we needed to reach out to more town officials to hopefully get their participation. And a question for you, Aaron, have you gotten communication about this workshop? Did it go out to the COGS?
I did receive it, but I don't know if it's because I was at the COG or because I'm a member of this group.
Okay. Because we
look back.
we had talked about it, and Marianne was going to get a list of all the COGS and make sure that they got it, as well as the folks that are on CACUWIC. And I don't know if those two groups have been solicited yet or not. But to you and to your peers, Aaron, we really do want to involve decision makers, both in the user community as well as in the industry community. So it's a different audience than typically these kinds of things are aimed at. So I encourage you to discuss it with your own COG representatives and your peers for other COGs. So, also, we've been talking with the Alliance for Water Efficiency about having some focus on reducing water use through plumbing fixtures. And the topic is hot right now. Mary Mashinsky, completely independent of the work that we've been doing, has put in a bill that would make sure that Connecticut standards for plumbing fixtures did not go down if the federal ones went down. And that risk is real, because you may remember in December of this past year, the federal showerhead standards were reduced, were lessened. Not reduced volumes, but they are less conservative than they used to be. We did put together a memo and a two-page fact sheet, which Jack was and others were going to share with both DCP and DAS, because obviously they need to be on board if we make any progress with reducing the flow standards to match water sense standards. Our various subgroups are continuing to work, but have been slowed down because of the holidays and some other commitments of some of the members. But they are small groups, subgroups of the subgroups are continuing to work on what they are doing. The domestic wells water quality subgroup, looking at what testing would be required of wells, have decided that they want to add three analytes to the suite that is done with new wells, which are uranium, arsenic, and radon. DPH is in the process of updating those regulations, and so it's going to be a relatively minor task to include those. They also want to recommend that all real estate transactions include those analytes as well and be required to do water quality testing in that real estate transaction. This shouldn't be a big deal because most real estate transactions require water quality testing anyway. Most things that are going through any kind of a mortgage lender, those requirements are there. So this would only, the only new people would be more private real estate transactions, and they would want to include these three new analytes in that. They do have representation from the real estate industry on their group, and so they have been, and the representative is okay with this proposal. There is a new proposal for implementation tracking and reporting. The Water Planning Council, ever since its inception, has been required to make annual meetings to the legislature. Sometimes those, and not annual meetings, annual reports, sometimes those fall through the cracks. And we want to establish a way of tracking the implementation of the specifics in the water plan itself. This group would not actually do the tracking, but they would recommend who might do it and develop a system, a method, a spreadsheet, a whatever it might be to facilitate that. That could also result in a very short one or two page summary for the legislature, because they're not going to be going through all the details. We are looking for people or input on other groups that may have done this. It could be a humongous task, and there are people who specialize in this who have done it for other fields. And so any of that expertise is welcome to join the group. And also, if you know of other agencies who've been tracking masses of data, please let us know, because the group can reach out to them. This is not yet an official group. We are going to be submitting the proposal for this group to the Water Planning Council for their approval at their next meeting. So I can see that there may be some academics who might be involved in this, who have this kind of large data group. Because not only is it the agencies and these groups affiliated with the Water Planning Council that would be involved in this process, but there are a lot of other organizations who are also doing things that would be considered helping implement the state water plan. And we want to be able to capture as wide a suite as possible. We did have a long discussion of FOIA issues, whether our subgroups and subgroups of subgroups were responsible to follow the FOIA guidelines. And there is going to be Jack and Gail were talking about reaching out to some of the lawyers at PURA just to get a sense of what our obligations are in terms of publicly noticing the topical subgroupings, or even though personally I hope not, if you have two or three people working on a task together, that particular level would not be subject to it. So we're waiting on feedback of what is required. We certainly want to be open and transparent. These meetings are open to everybody, and to not only listen in, but to participate as they see fit. So that is the summary of what we've been doing. Any questions? Okay.
All right. I don't see any raised hands here.
I put a comment. This is Carol. On the rates workshop stuff, if the Council of Small Towns or the Connecticut Council of Municipalities maybe able to help get the word out.
They've both been contacted. They actually are both sponsoring the workshop, and the sponsorship basically means that they were willing to send it out to their distribution list. And Carol, has Rivers Alliance sent it out to your large distribution list?
We haven't sent it out yet, but we will be sending it out this week.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was thinking Bob Rogers.
That's okay. That's right.
From a Pond Broad standpoint, though, we did send it to our municipal leaders. So
great.
Local
great.
Geography.
Yeah, as of a week ago, there were 56 people who had registered. I have not gotten a more recent update from Marianne. So that's good. We noticed in the list that we had a paucity of municipal leaders. So thank you.
Thanks, Virginia. Any other questions for Virginia? All of this talk about legislation made me realize that I have not put the list together that I usually put together for the Water Planning Advisory Group for legislation tracking. So what I'll do is put something together of bills that I think are relevant to the Water Planning Advisory Group. I'll send it around after the meeting. And if there's anything I missed from something I haven't seen yet, please let me know. I will add it to the list. But it's something we usually circulate through the legislative session before our Water Planning Advisory Group meetings. So my apologies for not staying on that. I've been trying to keep up with my own legislative tracking. So,
Alicia, let me add one more thing that I forgot to mention. In terms of the tracking of the implementation of the State Water Plan, I know that CDM Smith, which is the organization that did our plan, has done plans in other states, and they have been hired to help with that implementation. I have reached out to Kirk Westfall to just get his thoughts on some things that we should keep in mind and if he has any wisdom in terms of how we go about tracking it. So I will share the details of that with you when I've had a chance to see them.
Thanks, Virginia. And I know I've mentioned this in the past, but it may be helpful to maybe put some sort of Google form or a submission form, if possible, on the Water Planning Council website for folks who feel that they have had some sort of program that fits in with implementation to be able to submit that to the implementation work group. For their review to see if it does fit in and credit can be applied to other partners, either working in NGOs or regional groups on these sort of implementation. And I think it would also be a good place to identify good projects that can be replicated in other places as well. All right, as far as other state water plan matters go, we did have a special meeting today to discuss the soil health legislation, as well as the report that the Watershed Lands Work Group had put together that we had sent to the Water Planning Council at the last meeting. There will be a follow-up at the next Water Planning Council meeting after we have this discussion as far as how the Water Planning Council would like to move forward with some of the items on the report. Did I characterize that correctly, Chair Bukowski?
You absolutely did.
Okay.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for their, it's a long day, but I thought both meetings were very productive.
Okay, is there anything else in the in other Water Planning Council member updates before we move on to the Water Utility Coordinating Committee? All right, so do we have anyone here that can give the WUC update? I'm not seeing, I think Dan told me he could not be here. I do know there is a meeting tomorrow, I believe. Let's see, my calendar.
Yeah. Hi, Alicia, this is Ingrid.
Oh, hi, Ingrid. Yeah, go ahead.
Dan gave me a quick update to pass on to you folks. The second meeting of the implementation work group is tomorrow afternoon, starting at 1. We have four groups that are focusing on drought, conservation, interconnections and regionalization, and non-community systems, both design and planning for connecting those systems to existing community water systems. And that's the brief update.
Okay, I have 2:30 on my calendar. Is that wrong?
Yes, 1 to 3.
Yep, there it is. I put the wrong time on my calendar. And I have no excuse because I get 6 emails on this. All right, thanks. 1 o'clock tomorrow. I'll write myself a note to change my calendar. Ingrid, have those subcommittee meetings met? Have the subcommittees met yet, or are they still forming?
They're still forming. This is going to be the second meeting. They met previously.
Okay.
I'm not
but
sure
the breakout groups haven't started meeting yet, right?
I think tomorrow's going to be the first breakout.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Any questions for Ingrid before I move on? I don't think we have an interagency work group update. I believe we've met since they downgraded our status down to, well, it's hard to say, hard to phrase this. I mean, you could say droughtless. We're droughtless. I believe we've met since then. So I don't think there's a whole lot to talk about. Did we get that update at the last meeting? They had met before our last Water Planning Council. Right. Okay. So there is nothing that has changed. They are continuing to meet on other items, even though we are not, we don't have a current threat, but they're watching to make sure that we're not going to find ourselves in essentially a 2-year drought. So that is good news that they're paying attention. So the Watershed Lands Work Group, I'm not sure if Karen is here or Margaret wants to give an update, but we've already spoke about the report and how the Water Planning Council will be moving forward on the items in the report. Was there anything else that I'm missing, Karen?
No, just a few things. One, I think I was happy to see that. I know you were on, Josh was on, Aaron, Fred. There's numerous members of the advisory group at the special meeting of the Water Planning Council today at 11:30. And I think three things just to mention this kind of rose to the surface in the discussion, and it was with Chairman Bukowski, Lori Matthew, and then Graham Stevens at the end. By the time that we got on the agenda, I believe Martin Haft had left. But the three things that kind of rose to the top of the list of interest and is the need and the for overall statewide watershed mapping, not just having the map, but making certain that it's accessible to not only the public, but municipalities and everyone involved so that they can have this map and have a map that's complete for not only planning for projects and watershed, planning for projects and reviewing it, and then also for the public input. So I think mapping was a key question. The other key topic, I think another topic that kind of rose to the top was the need for the flagging of projects in watershed land, whether that be the Connecticut Siting Council for the Connecticut Siting Council, in general, that people know, everyone involved knows that a project is a proposed project is in drinking water watershed land. And then there was another topic that I thought was very was talked about quite a bit, and that is the integrated resource plan and the statement in it that they will be putting together a stakeholders group to look at energy issues, water issues, and trying to get, which was the key, the input of everyone and the coordination of not just creating and having more renewable energy in the state, but also the protection of source water lands. So I think those, and I would hope, you know, Alicia, Josh, I know Aaron was on, Fred was on, any other issues, but that I believe that the Water Planning Council will be discussing at least those issues, if not more, at its March meeting. And I would just like to put in one plug for your legislation. It came up that in our talking with Lori Matthew of DPH, and she has said this a couple times, that in the DPH omnibus bill before the legislature this session, there is a section that would require local land use boards to submit applications electronically to DPH rather than paper copies. And I know that she has in the past spoken of the importance of doing that, because getting all these paper copies in is difficult to review, and more staff time is needed. They come in electronically, they will have more staff to devote time to looking at major projects that could have the adverse effect on the land and the water. So it was a good meeting, followed by a lot of discussion. I know a lot more about soil and water conservation than I knew before the meeting started, the first item on the agenda. So, but please, Alicia, Josh, Aaron, Fred, whoever else was there, I forget, please add your comments on the meeting with the Water Planning Council or Chairman Butkoski. You'd be even better because you heard everyone.
No, I thought it was really good. And what, as I said, what happens, there's so much time that goes on between meetings. I just don't want people to think that all the work you do doesn't go unheard. So I think it was very productive, and moving forward, I think we have some tangible items we've got to take up and move forward and do some discussion at the Water Planning Council next go around. Look at the proposed legislation and particularly look at those three items moving forward. And I thought, Karen, that you raised a good point. You know, it's all activity goes on watershed property. It's not just solar. It's all types of projects, and including renewable energy projects, but anything else that goes that could in any way impede the water. So I appreciate everybody taking the time to be there. And I did learn about, and Denise has her hand up, I see. I did learn a lot about the soil today, that for sure.
Before I call in Denise, I just want to point out that I in the chat, I put a link to the DPH's public water supply mapping, as well as I put the language on the stakeholder group that the draft IRP is proposing. That's on page 157 of the draft IRP. Denise?
Thank you. I was thinking about this because I thought it was a great meeting, and I think the Water Planning Council Advisory Group, and Jack happens to be on today, so he can actually hear this directly. But I think it would really be good for the Water Planning Council to have a presentation by Chris Stone of the Stormwater Permitting folks on some of their challenges with siting some of these large-scale solars. And he did an excellent presentation that's actually online in terms of a PowerPoint presentation to the Southern New England chapter of the Soil and Water Conservation Society. And I think it was in December, so at their meeting. And I think it would really be helpful for the Water Planning Council, because this is one of those things when we're talking about public drinking water supply in particular. And that doesn't, you know, this, I agree, Alicia, we need to look at all watersheds, but particularly from the drinking water supply perspective, it would be good to see what the challenge is we're facing, and again, it could be any large-scale development. It's not, but you know, solar happens to be the largest development we're seeing right now. But any large-scale development and some of those challenges we see, and it kind of relates again to soil health. So, just wanted to make that recommendation again. Chris Stone is with the Stormwater Permitting Section of Connecticut DEEP, and he has an excellent presentation that would make sense for the Water Planning Council folks to hear.
Thanks, Denise. Aaron, you have your hand raised as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to add a couple of those points that Karen brought up. One is the mapping. You know, I think it's great that DPH has that map up on their website, but I think it would be a lot more useful to have watershed land data sort of accessible with a, with all the other environmental data that, that the state has. So I'm actually working on another project with Emily Wilson at CLEAR, and they oversee the CT Eco web portal. So I asked her if it would be possible to add the watershed lands data to that, and she said it wouldn't be a problem. So we reached out to Eric McPhee at DPH to see if we could get that permission, and he's working on that. So, I mean, that could at least be an interim fix. You know, there's a lot of data up there, and I think it'd be really useful to see the watershed and the, you know, aquifer protection areas, you know, in conjunction with all that other data. So I'm hoping that'll happen soon. And then on the other point of sort of flagging development on watershed lands, there's actually one of the working groups that's going to be meeting tomorrow for the WOOC is going to be looking at developing a review checklist for local commissions and planners. So, you know, I think that's the whole purpose of that, at least for, you know, locally regulated development. So just something to be aware of, I guess.
That is great news, Aaron. Thank you. The map.
First of all, I want to say hooray about incorporating the DPH map in CT Eco. I don't have to go to two different places because I use CT Eco for a lot. So that's great. But so the group that you mentioned, will they be working on updating the documents that Lori Matthew mentioned at the special water planning council meeting? I think she said it was protecting public water supply watersheds. It was a guide for local land use commissions. Because it seems like that's the direction that group is going in.
Well, we haven't had our first meeting yet, but I'm sure that will be informing what we work on, yeah.
Okay. Fred?
Hi, thanks. Am I off mute? Okay, yeah. I think that there was one other takeaway from this morning's special meeting that was discussed, and I believe that I heard Chairman Bukowski agree that in light of the fact that in addition to the four agencies represented on the Water Planning Council, a sister agency, this Connecticut Siting Council, is charged with consideration and balancing of energy policy and environmental protection, and that Melanie Bachman should be part of the dialogue.
Thanks, Fred. Is there anyone else? Okay. So moving on to the source water protection worker proposal, I believe we left off with the Water Planning Council of a sanctioning of our plan to move forward with a white paper. And I don't think there were any changes on that. Denise, am I forgetting something important?
No, I think that's kind of where we left off, that, you know, that's where we'd move ahead. And I think it's a great way to tackle it. For those who aren't familiar with what we were talking about with the white paper, it was really to basically say who's working on source water, put it all down on paper, and then see where the gaps were, so that we basically kind of do, if you will, a little bit of an analysis about what's happening with source water protection, where are we with it, and where are the gaps, and how does that fit in with the role of, you know, the work that's happening here. So.
And I think we agreed how we would like to start, sort of kick this off, is to present an outline to the advisory group and give people an opportunity to take a piece of that to flesh out the details. So we can probably maybe expect a rough outline maybe the next meeting or in, let's see, today. It's what, February, March, April? March or April?
Yeah, I can probably get it for March. If I can't, I will let you know in plenty of time.
Okay. But at least then we can just make sure that we've got all of the points in the outline. And then for those willing to take a piece of it, you know, all the work won't be on individuals to write the paper. So that's how we plan to move forward. We don't have anything under new business. Does anyone else have anything under new business that you want to bring up?
Just quickly, that mark on your calendars that March 22nd is World Water Day. And stay tuned for information. We're hoping that.
We lost you, Karen.
And just let you know that 7 or 8 organizations in the state of environmental groups are working right now to put together a program, a webinar at lunchtime on March 22nd. The theme being of this year's World Water Day, what water means to you. So no specifics right now, but information to come.
Anything else under new business? Bruce, if you wouldn't mind jotting down, Bruce is still here, right? Is Bruce still with us?
I am here.
Ah, okay. For some reason, I don't see you. Can you just jot down review of legislation for the next agenda?
Sure.
Thank you very much. So is there any public comments? Give folks a few minutes to get off mute if you plan to make a public comment. Nothing? Could we really be done in a half an hour? Wow. Well, February is a short month. We get a short meeting for the short month. Our next meeting date for the Water Planning Advisory Group is March 16th. The next Water Planning Council meeting is March 2nd, and the Implementation Work Group is March 9th. So unless anyone has anything else, can I hear a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
And who seconded that?
Karen.
Oh, Karen did. Okay, great. Well, all right, folks. Meeting is adjourned. And I hope you get to go outside and enjoy the sunshine when it gets to you.
happy Fat Tuesday. Don't
forget. That's right.
That's right.
Important enough. Bye, everybody. Bye.